Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show is the agent for DeMarcus Lawrence. It is David Cantor. How are you doing today, David?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, we really appreciate you taking the time. We were all biting our fingernails as these negotiations were going on. Luckily, the Cowboys and DeMarcus Lawrence end up coming to an agreement. You guys got things worked out, and he's going to be a Cowboy for a long time with a lot of money in his pocket. But for a while there, it was looking like maybe this thing was going to go south. How worried were you, and at what point were you the most worried that a deal was not going to happen between DeMarcus and the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if worried would be the proper term. You know, I don't really worry. My job is to stay calm and cool and collected through the whole thing. Certainly going all the way back to 2017, you know, when we thought, hey, maybe the Cowboys will reach out to us before the season's over and talk about a long-term extension, you know, prior to putting the franchise tag on us. And then that didn't happen. And then this year, having, you know, been at probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 different events between Frisco and Oxnard, and then games on the road and at home, and no conversations happening, you always get a little concerned that maybe it's not in the cards, and that the team is going to hope that he eats a second tag like he did last year. Although we had no intentions on doing that, you lose your leverage at some point in time. I think the date's July 15th or 16th this year. And so when we were able to get on the conference call and get things worked out and really have DeMarcus and Steven in an open and honest atmosphere, and both put their hearts out there on the line with me kind of bouncing things off of them and feedback. We changed our stance, they changed their stance, and you know, we're blessed and excited to be back and have this thing behind us.
You know, I'm curious because I feel like I've heard it characterized different ways. Really, the final 24 hours, even kind of beginning on that Thursday, how did the whole Steven reaching out to DeMarcus thing happen?
I actually thought it would be a good idea to do. I mentioned it to Steven once we kind of reached our impasse, as he described it, and felt like sometimes you need to get a fresh perspective on things. And I felt if there was going to be no deal, or there was going to be a deal, or going to be a trade, or hey, we're not going to give you your money that you think you're worth, and we're going to, you know, make you play under a second tag, there should be some communication between the player and management. And there was a little bit of a deadline in my mind. You know, I felt like once the team was back in the building in OTAs, and you've got the coaching staff all back together, and you've got the Hot Boys all back together, they're going to start texting DeMarcus. They're going to start calling DeMarcus saying, come on, man, get in here. And, you know, he's got a lot of friends and a lot of family in that building that have influence on him in a positive way. But at the same time, I'm trying to accomplish something to take care of him and his family for generations. And so sometimes those things are conflicted. You know, what Tyrone Crawford wants for his best friend versus what Rod Marinelli wants for his player are not always necessarily the same things. And so, you know, I had an idea that, hey, the pressure will get a little bit more intense once guys are in the building come whatever it is, April 11th or April 12th, I think the date was, you know, earlier this week. I guess it was a couple days ago, so whatever that date was. And so in my mind and in our minds, Brian and I, you know, who works with me, we talked to DeMarcus and talked to Sasha and talked to Jamie and his inner circle about kind of our time frame and when we thought we should try to push this thing. And once the owners' meetings came out and, you know, rumors started to leak that I'm the worst guy in the world and I don't know what I'm doing and DeMarcus should get a different agent and all this other nonsense, which was completely untrue, and that the Cowboys and I, our relationship had soured so much that it might be irreparable, you know, all this nonsense that always happens during these high-stakes negotiations, I was like, look, let's get on a call. Let's get you, me, and Steven on a call, and either let's get moving forward or let's get moving backwards, but at least we'll have a stance and we'll know where both sides stand.
Yeah, we were hearing all that too, and we were wondering how that even played into this or how it would even come about. So was there ever any real contention, or is there any dislike there between the parties? Does any of that even matter?
One, no, it doesn't matter. And two, no, there isn't. I mean, Stephen and I think we've known each other 22 or 23 years, and I think he's been in his role with the Cowboys for almost 30, and I've been an agent for 23. We've had a lot of great nights, and we've had a lot of deals and a lot of doings together. And just like any other business relationship, you're trying to maximize your client's earnings. That's my job. That's what I get paid to do. And the Cowboys are trying to put everything together in the piece of the puzzle that they have to, because they have other needs and wants, and they've got to put together a 90-man roster. And Stephen, I think, said it best at the press conference, which was, I told that to DeMarcus, and DeMarcus was like, well, Stephen, I don't really care. That's not my job. My job is to take care of my job as a football player and make sure that my agent takes care of me. And Stephen's like, no, I understand that, but I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page. And I think that one thing unique about my relationship with the Cowboys is I think they always have appreciated my honesty. And at some point in time, honesty doesn't vibe well with trying to get a deal done, right? I'm giving you my numbers. I'm laying it out there, and I'm giving the feedback directly to the player, which is my job. But sometimes you wish that maybe you could soft shoe it, so to speak. And so that's not really my kind of the way I've operated for the last 23 years. I tell the truth to the player, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And sometimes it means that the team doesn't like them or doesn't want them. And that wasn't the case with DeMarcus. They were clear from day one that they loved them, they needed them, and they wanted them. But it's a dollars and cents deal, and it's billionaires versus millionaires, and you have to be cognizant of that.
Talking to David Kanter, the agent for DeMarcus Lawrence here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. As far as the inner workings go, I'm way more familiar with NBA contracts and their collective bargaining agreement than the NFL's. But in looking at the NFL's...
Boy, do we wish we had those.
So that's what I was going to say. I think the NFL system's ridiculous. And so my question is for you, as a man who works within this system, one, do you like working within this system? And two, if not, how do you fix it?
Wow. I mean, we could go on for months, not even hours, on how you fix it. But certainly, I think that the game has suffered dramatically since the 2011 CBA. I think that just because rosters are able to get younger and therefore cheaper, you diminish the value and the quality of the brand of football. The middle class has, in essence, evaporated. The Cowboys fans know J.J. Wilcox and Benson Mayowa, both former Cowboys players. J.J.'s still on the street. And Benson just had to take a below market value deal with the Raiders specifically because teams don't want to sign veteran players that are in their 27 to 30 year group if they could lose their compensatory picks. And that's a new mechanism as of last year that the league started to allow teams to trade their ability with their compensatory picks, which means less and less veterans will get bigger and bigger deals, and you're seeing a lot of 1 and 2 year kind of play it and prove it deals that even if you play it and prove it, as is Benson's case, that doesn't mean there's always a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and you're bearing all the risk of injury for another 16 game or more schedule plus the preseason. So I think professional football in America as we know it is in grave danger of greed killing the golden goose, so to speak. I think that the owners have taken too much money for too long. I think that the players have suffered dramatically over the last 20 years or so since I've been an agent. And the diminishing value and the diminishing returns of how rosters are built, which is you've got five guys that are really the haves, and then you've got a lot of roster fillers from positions 37 to 53 that are interchangeable pieces of a puzzle that don't necessarily have to be that way and certainly have no financial security or stability whatsoever. I think the fans misperceive pro football because you see a DeMarcus Lawrence getting $21 million a year or a Russell Wilson getting $35 million a year, and you think that everybody else on the roster is like that. But there's plenty of practice squad guys and there's plenty of other players that are making league minimum, which, of course, is more than a teacher and more than a police officer and more than an FBI agent and more than a judge and more than a lot of other great positions that we need in society. but the entertainment prop is obviously there. No one's going to a police station to watch a cop, you know, be a police officer for the day and write traffic tickets. So it's a unique thing, and a police officer could be a police officer for 40 or 50 years. Football players maybe get to play 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10, if they're really, really lucky. So there's a lot of issues and problems in our sport, and I fear for it almost every day.
Talking to David Cantor, the agent for DeMarcus Lawrence and several other players in the NFL, I'm curious about this as details started emerging about the way the contract negotiation went. You know, we were listening to you on another podcast, and it was fascinating. We all got to kind of go behind the scenes and see how one of these negotiations works and whatnot. I was impressed with both sides. I was impressed with you because you didn't let your ego get in the way, and ultimately you said, all right, look, I may want to trade more than DeMarcus, but DeMarcus wants to be here, and you guys figured out a way to make it happen. And then, honestly, I was very impressed with Steven because it sounds like he's a tough dude to negotiate with, which is Cowboy fans want that. You know, they don't want a guy just getting sentimental and giving out all the money. It seemed like it was a hard negotiation, but it's probably to be expected in these cases. Did you find that, you know, now that the dust has settled, do you look back and say, damn, Steven's a good negotiator?
Well, I mean, obviously you don't turn the franchise around like Jerry and Steven have done if they're not really good, right? And it's not just them. I mean, they've got an unbelievable front office of people, whether it's Adam Proska putting together the numbers and Todd Williams and Will McClay picking the players. You know, Charlotte does an unbelievable job in marketing and Jerry Jr. I mean, it's a very unique organization. And so one thing I got to correct you on, I never wanted a trade. And this is important. I want everybody to know. I would like every client I'd like to represent every player on the Dallas Cowboys roster because it's a very unique place in pro football. It's a traveling circus every week. And I mean that in the best of ways. You go to Oxnard, California, and there's 10,000 people, mm-hmm. and there's a mobile pro shop that has a line of 150 people, you know, second by second. There's a Bank of America. There's all their sponsors there. I mean, you go to training camp in Frisco, and then there's another 10,000 people that are coming in to watch guys, you know, jog in shorts and a T-shirt. So the facilities are as good as any place, if not better, in the world. The stadium is unbelievable. After the games, there's a laundry room where the friends and family can have dinner and drinks and socialize, you know, post-game. And nobody has that kind of stuff. And you have also a no state tax in Texas, which is tremendously valued from a financial standpoint for a player. And you have a very reasonable cost of living in Plano and in Frisco and Arlington and the surrounding Dallas metropolitan area. So I want every client on the Dallas Cowboys to be represented by me because I would love to keep all my clients there because it's a great atmosphere. It's a great organization. And I think that they're really close to being one of the top two or three teams in football again on the field, which is important as well. They've obviously won on the business side, you know, for the last 30 years, like no other organization in pro sports in America. So with all those things said, Steven's obviously really good at his job. And I think he knows I'm really good at my job. And I think when you have two people who are very like-minded individuals, I think we're both very stubborn. I think we both have a little bit of arrogance to us that we both know we're really good at what we do. Sometimes you're going to battle heads and you're going to ram each other in the head a little bit. And then you kind of back off and let the dust settle and realize that we both had the same goal, which was my edict from my client was to keep him a Cowboy and get him a long-term deal. And I think the Cowboys really wanted DeMarcus on a long-term deal. And it's just putting the pieces of the puzzle together, which after the call Thursday, you know, came together relatively quickly. And then when we had our little bit of a setback Friday afternoon, you know, and I probably could have pushed for an extra $500,000 over 5 years, is it worth doing it if it's going to break the deal and we're going to lose it completely and then get into the off season where this is obviously going to be a long, drawn-out, massive kind of distraction, and who does that benefit, right?
Yeah.
I don't work for me. You know, I work for DeMarcus, and Steven doesn't work for DeMarcus. Steven works for the Cowboys organization and his family. So you have to know that. You have to respect that. You have to kind of check the egos at the door, and eventually we were able to do all that stuff, and I think, you know, having been there last Tuesday for the press conference, I think it was all good and plenty and positive, and I'm looking forward to hopefully having DeMarcus and my other two clients on the Cowboys and maybe some more that are interested in me representing them, add me as their agent and go out and watch them be very, very successful on the field.
Well, last question. You know, Steven has a responsibility to build an entire roster, right? Yeah. And they've drafted really well, so they've got a lot of guys that are in line to get paid. How much responsibility does the current NFL player have to help build the roster? In other words,
zero.
Okay. Help us out with that.
Zero. I mean, at the end of the day, one thing that no one realizes in football, and it's really hard for me to get across, we've got a bunch of really good rookies that will get drafted, God willing, next weekend. And it's a hard thing that I have to explain to them. The NFL is a team sport played by individuals. No one's going to care about you the day after you hang up your helmet and put up your shoulder pads. They're not going to take care of your wife and your kids. They're not going to pay your mortgage. And the job of us, and it sounds mercenary-like, and I guess in a way it is my job is to maximize the earnings for my clients in the minimal amount of time before the game chews them up and spits them out. And you guys know this because you cover the older players.
Yeah.
For every Emmett Smith, there's 500 guys that you never hear about again that have to just go on and live a normal life. And sometimes they can't bend over and pick up their kids, or they can't go run in a park with them or do those physical things because the game takes so much from them. And so our job is to really just try to help them maximize the dollars. And I think people think it's a really negative kind of way to look at the sport, but it's really not, because the sport chews these guys up and spits them out so quickly that you're on to the next one. And so, of course, everybody roots for the star on the helmet and not the back of the name on the jersey. So Tony Romo goes out and Dak Prescott comes in. Dak Prescott eventually will go out and another player will come in. But for us, those players are our lives.
But David, hold on a second.
Guys in the NFL are my life.
David, hold on a second.
Not the Cowboys.
You were talking about only four guys getting, you know, $20 to $25 million in a capped league. Everybody can't get. That's essentially what takes out the middle class, which is why we're asking. The guys at the top, if they take all the money, the middle class disappears because it's a capped league.
Well, that's actually inaccurate, and I'll explain to you why. Because there's machinations in the cap. What the real number that no one looks at is cash. It's what the ownership group allows the team to spend on players on an annual basis. We can manipulate the cap year in and year out. We can push off money into future years to lower a player's cap number this year. We can convert salary into signing bonus this year.
But when you do that, you're paying like over $30 million to Dez and Romo in a year they don't even play in a capped league.
That's not me. I mean, don't tell right. you.
No, I know, I know. But you're saying, yeah. but there's a finite number here. There absolutely is. It's a cap.
I think that you can have a middle class, and middle class for me is guys that make between $3 and $7 million a year, and you can have the 20 to 25 and 30. Dak's going to get 30+ maybe a year, and you can have that guy because the way you structure the deals, you can obviously build things in a 3-year window. Most teams, the smart teams, are building contracts in 3-year windows. And the reality of it is that, you know, if you look around the landscape in football, some of these coaches don't even make 3 years. So why, you know, Jason's obviously an anomaly, not the norm, where you have coaching staffs that are changing over year in, year out. You know, Pete Carroll and Jason and a couple of the other coaches, obviously Bill Belichick is the obviously super rare one, but he's winning and getting results. So there are very few teams that keep the status quo of head coaches year in and year out. I mean, you just had the Colts get rid of a coach and a GM. You've obviously got every year the Jets, it seems, are hiring new representation. The Dolphins got rid of Adam Gase, you know, after 2.5-3 years. So teams that are smart are building these contracts on 3-year deals, and they're looking at cash and cap flow over 3 years. Now, what makes this very unique is we are going to go into next year as the last year of the 10-year agreement. And so I imagine we will come out with something similar to what we've had in the past with significant revenue increases, which the cap, just so everyone knows, should be closer to $250 to $300 million if we had stayed under the previous deal as opposed to the new one that was negotiated in 2011. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there.
Man, this was awesome. Hey, thanks so much for jumping on with us. Glad you guys got that deal done. We'd love to have
Me
you
too.
Back again.
To go Cowboys, and I appreciate you guys. I wish them the best of luck with the other deals they have going forward.
Awesome. There he goes, David Cantor, the agent for DeMarcus Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.